Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I'm your guide, Derek Hayes. Welcome to Monsters Among Us, a call-in show about monsters, and more specifically, the people that see them. Now, I have an incredible episode lined up for you guys this evening, and I want to kick it off with something a little different. I don't think I've ever started a show with a Bigfoot call. Well, that is, until now. Hailing from the state of Georgia, we jump right into tonight with Greg's submission.
Hi, my name is Greg. I'm calling to you from Georgia. My story is one that happened back in probably 1973. At that time, I was like 5-6 years old. It was a time when kids could be sent to the store to buy their parents cigarettes or could buy them for themselves or whatever, tobacco. There wasn't an age limit, so to speak. So we lived in a trailer park for a short period of time before my family moved into a house a town over. So in this trailer park, you could walk through the woods to a little convenience store. You know, you could go through the woods or you could take the long route and you could walk closer to the highway at the edge of the woods and go to the store. It was roughly, if I had to guess, between a mile through the woods to a mile and a half, you know, around the woods. So my story is this. So my father gave me a dollar. Back then you'd get a pack of cigarettes for, I believe it was like 45 cents. And I'd been through these woods many, many, many times. We lived in this trailer park for a couple of years. I got his pack of cigarettes as well as something for myself. And as I was walking on my way back, I was going back through the woods. It's a pine forest. There's lots of pine trees in Georgia. And there's little shelves where the landscape kind of drops kind of suddenly. So you could kind of jump or whatever. So it kind of left you a little ridge, maybe 3 or 4 feet high. Again, I was probably around 6 years old when this occurred. I was walking back to the trailer park. Peaceful, it's quiet. We're right in the area where you kind of start to go this upslope, and there's some ferns and things like that. The day itself was, is a typical spring day kind of thing in Georgia. Things were bloomed, lots of tree pollen, that kind of thing. As I'm walking up to go up this ridge, I see a deer coming. And this deer comes straight at me. And my instinct was just to lay down, to fall down, to keep from getting, because it looked like it was going to hit me. So I threw myself back and on the ground, kind of flat on my back, as this deer come running over me with a sheer look of terror on its face. You know, it's kind of one of those things when you're a kid, you've never seen a deer before. It just kind of burns into your brain. Well, when I threw myself back on my back, I saw the deer come over me, and then I saw what was chasing it. And what was chasing it looked to me, looking back on these things, was some kind of bipedal bear or ape man or Bigfoot, whatever you guys want to call it. So the deer and the hairy Bigfoot thingy came over the top of me. And the deer, once it hit the ground, immediately changed direction and went to the left. And the thing following it or chasing it immediately turned as well. And I just watched them go out of sight. I was shaken up. Again, I was like 6 years old. I didn't really know what I'd seen. You know, your brain can't really process something you haven't seen or didn't know about, that kind of thing. I thought it was maybe a bear, but it was on 2 feet. It was running. And, you know, you see a bear on TV or at the zoo. They don't move very fast. And this thing was running as fast as I've ever seen anything run in my life. And I immediately hopped up and I ran out of the woods the opposite direction towards the highway, and went the long way around all the way home. I had dropped the package that I was carrying, a brown bag with the cigarettes and a candy bar. When I got to my home, you know, I told my father what I'd seen, and he was very unhappy and asked me what color it was. And I said it was like dark brown, maybe like hints of like gold, you know. And I immediately got a spanking because I was lying, so to speak. And there was only black bears in Georgia and not brown or golden bears, so to speak. And was sent back to get the pack of cigarettes. I was terrified. I took the long way around. I went exactly the way to where that little fern area was and weeded through that as slow as I could. I mean, just shaking, waiting to get this pack of cigarettes, you know. I ran, grabbed the bag, ran back out of the woods, and pretty much ran all the way back home and never spoke of it again. I kind of put it out of my mind until years later. I was watching something on one of the TV channels where a police officer had captured something running across the road in Northeast Georgia. And I was maybe 30 miles from where that occurred. And it just kind of brought all those memories back. Since I listened to the show, I thought I would just share this with you and the listeners. And there's definitely something out there. I know we don't have supposed evidence of it, but, you know, I can't deny what I've seen. So, and I don't think I'll ever be able to forget that. I hope this helps anybody that wants to share what they've seen come forward, so to speak. So thank you. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks, Greg. Now, as I'm listening to Greg's call, one small detail really jumps out at me. I find it incredibly interesting that he struggles to name the creature, despite the fact that all the details seem to be there. So why is it so difficult for Greg to say the word Bigfoot or Sasquatch? It's almost as if the very utterance of the word stresses him out, or at the very least, disgusts him. Why is this significant, you might be asking? Well, I can look at this one of two ways. Either this experience upset him so badly that, as an adult, he still struggles to say the words Bigfoot or Sasquatch. Either that, or Greg is a master hoaxer, and he just happened to have a hunch that I would pick up on that subtle detail and run with it. I think my decision is fairly obvious. I believe he saw something terrifying. Something matching the description of a creature that we all call Bigfoot or Sasquatch. Now the question we're left with is plain and simple. What was the creature? Now I should also add that I love stories like these. They remind me of stories that my dad and uncles used to tell me when I was growing up. Some of the shenanigans they got into in the early and mid-70s. So thanks again, Greg, for taking the time to share that tale. The following story might be yet another first for the program. This story was submitted by Orson in the state of Florida.
Hi, my name is Orson, and I've been listening to your show for a little bit now. I was kind of was introduced to it by my girlfriend, and love it. I've been binging on it for a while, and wanted to call in and tell you my creepy story. Anyway, so this was back in, I want to say 2013, 2012, and this was back in Florida, actually West Palm Beach to be exact. And I love taking walks every day. I used to like walking a lot. And in this particular night, I actually had forgotten to walk that day. And so late at night, it was probably like 10:30 p.m. or 11. And in Florida, I think this was around the wet season where it would rain a lot. So I think it had just stopped raining. So I wanted to kind of, you know, do a little walk, maybe do a brisk walk before I headed to sleep. And usually, you know, I talk to a friend or something while I'm walking or something. And then I realized it was kind of late. I go around the neighborhood, I'd say about 3 or 4 times before I call it a night. And I remember that I was on my phone with one of my friends. And it was like the second go around that I did around the neighborhood. And the first time around I went around, I heard this noise, like a crying baby. But I ignored it because I was talking on the phone with my friend and I just went around the neighborhood once. So I just thought, you know, probably somebody's kid who's, you know, crying. And so I didn't pay any attention to it. I went around the second time and I still heard it crying. So I was talking to my friend on the phone and I said to him, I said, hey, listen, don't you think it's kind of weird that there's a baby crying this late at night? Because by the second time around, it was probably, I want to say later, like maybe 11 or 11:30. So I thought that was weird, but I didn't pay no mind to it. I didn't go towards the noise and I just continued on my walk. By the third time around, I could clearly hear what seemed to be a baby crying. It was like a continuing crying. Like it had like a set pattern. It wasn't like, you know, some babies that you hear that will cry a little, then cry louder, then cry. No, it was just very consistent and loud. So I told my friend, hey, let me call you back. I'm going to investigate this. And I'll call you and let you know if it was just crazy, me thinking something crazy, or, you know, or if it really was something that is abnormal here. So I hung up the phone, and as soon as it did, it was about my third round halfway, I heard it. So at this point, I'm hearing this noise constantly. And I was walking towards the noise. I kept hearing it, and I kept hearing it. So as I walked closer and closer to the noise, it kept getting louder and louder. And what seemed to be a baby crying now appeared to be like, if you've ever heard what's the sound of a baby lamb crying. I don't know if you guys are, maybe not crying, but you know, the sound of a baby lamb that's lost or something. You know, they seem to be crying. They seem to be lost, so they're calling out. This, which is the only way I can describe that. So it no longer seemed like a baby, but it was more like a baby lamb. So as I got closer to the noise or to the sound of it, and I remember as I was walking closer and closer, I had pretty good visibility for a really dark night. I mean, the moon was still out. You could see it. And you could also see some of the apartments, or they're not exactly apartments, but kind of duplexes is what I wanted to say. You could see the duplexes that were around in the neighborhood. And so I saw the lights. I mean, I saw the moon was bright, and as I approached the noise, I could clearly see my way around. as I got closer and closer, I started to zero in on the actual noise. And to my surprise, when I got up to, like, let's say 2.5 feet from the noise, it was next to a tree. It was a big tree. And, you know, I could see the roots. I could see the ground. It was moist or wet. And I saw, and I zeroed in exactly where the sound was coming from. And to my surprise, there was nothing there. But there was the sound of a baby sheep or lamb crying, or just, you know, it was the creepiest thing. I remember my skin starting to, you know, get goosebumps, and I was just like, I don't see anything. And I could clearly see the surroundings of the tree. And all of a sudden, the noise started to elevate from the nearby tree, and it started to go up. And it started to elevate, and I could follow, in the middle of the night, I could follow the noise of this sheep or this baby lamb. And what it did is it floated into the trees and then went and floated beyond the trees, and it dove into some nearby fence that was probably, I would say, maybe 500 feet from me. And it disappeared into those trees, into those woods behind that fence. But I remember thinking about what happened. And then afterwards, I went home and I just thought, you know, what just happened? I was a little bit in unbelief. Like, I can't believe that that happened the way that it happened. I was expecting to see something. I don't know what I was expecting from the noise, from the sound. I was expecting to see something maybe hurt, to see something that needed help. What was going through my mind afterwards was, in the moment, how could a little baby be there? And if it was a baby, who was the baby with? What is it doing in a urban neighborhood? Exactly my thoughts, you know, what is it doing there? You know, who left it there? And when I saw nothing and it floated away into the darkness, I went home in unbelief. I was just like, I can't believe that happened. So anyways, those were my feelings. I told my friend, I called him later on, and I sat down with him, and I said, dude, you won't believe what happened to me. And surely, you know, he thought it was crazy too. And I, till this day, I mean, this happened back in 2012 or 2013, but still to this day, I remember it like it was yesterday. So anyway, that was my creepy story. I will never know what that was, and I thought that was really strange. Never again did I hear anything again after my walks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Orson. And while I certainly do not claim to have solved this particular mystery, I may have a logical explanation for what Orson experienced. As I've said no less than probably a million times, I'm originally from the southeastern hills of Ohio, and I grew up doing outdoorsy things, like fishing and hunting. And it was while doing the latter that I was making my way to my deer stand early one morning. I was probably around 13 years old. And I was told by the older guys that I needed to be in my tree stand before first light. So being the overachiever that I am, I got up at the butt crack of dawn and made my way through a darkened locust patch on my grandparents' property. Now, I was careful not to use a flashlight. I certainly didn't want to spook any sleeping deer. So there I was, trekking through this darkened forest, when I hear an all-too-familiar sound. A crying baby. Now, absolutely nothing can prepare you for a sound like that in that setting, I can promise you. Even then, at 13 or 14, I was more inquisitive than sensible. So I did a little investigating. I was armed, after all, so I doubt a zombie baby would be willing to take me on. So as it turns out, the morning breeze was moving just right to rub two huge maple trees together, causing a whimpering, baby-crying sound that repeated over and over, and even began to change the longer you listened to it. So what I'm proposing here is that with the rainy season, and the recent rain that Orson described, could it have brought with it a stiff enough wind to have caused a couple trees to rub together and creak. Now I should note that 13-year-old me did not have nerves of steel. I just knew the sound, having heard it many times in my years in the woods. That said, it's still a bit terrifying the first few times you hear it. But thanks again, Orson, for taking the time to share your story. Well, that's a Bigfoot and a crying tree out of the way, so let's move on to a haunted asylum. The following was submitted by Zach in wonderful, wild West Virginia.
Hello there, Derek. This is Zach calling from good old Mothman country of West Virginia. Been a big fan of the podcast for, I don't know, a year and a half or so now. I have finally gotten up the nerve to call and tell some stories. As I was listening to your episode a few weeks ago, you were talking about Kirkbride Asylums and how you're a huge fan of those. I actually worked in one for 3 years, give or take. That's now a tourist location / museum / star of television shows and whatnot. Well, my story happened in April 2012. I was helping out volunteering on a Saturday night. I wasn't working, so I was just sort of helping out with another group. And I walked upstairs and to the second floor, and I ended up running into my friend. And this so happened that at the time, his son was training to be a guide. So we were sort of shadowing him, letting him do his thing, but also trying to keep an eye out to see how he was doing. So we walked down a ward on the second floor, and we ended up seeing some strange shadow movement down at the end of the hallway. So it sort of piques our interest for a few minutes. And we stand there and we look at it. And this was really nothing out of the ordinary, but it's always fascinating. Realizing that we should get back and check on his son, we take off down the ward next to us, closer to the center of the building. And we end up running into his son's group. Immediately, hey, did you guys see anything? Anything cool happen? So our friend starts talking to them and telling them what we saw. So, as groups always do, hey, take us down there, show us. So we go down to the ward exactly where we were, and he's telling him how it all happened and everything. So we were standing there for a few minutes, and I excuse myself, and I walk about two rooms down to the right, which is about 20 feet. And it's a double room, and it has the big carved-out windows. So I'm sitting against a window, and I'm playing on my phone for a minute. So the group's outside, and I hear them all talking. And I had a tiny little pen light. We didn't use big lights. We didn't want to blind anybody. So I had a tiny pen light on me, but I hear my friend say, "Hey, Zach, dude, we're going to take off. Where are you?" And they start to all shuffle down the hallway. I don't know, 8, 10 of them. So I turn my pen light on, and I start to walk out of the room. And immediately, the entire group, including my very well-seasoned friend, jump out of their skin. It was nothing scary. I was very subtle with my light. I had shown it out of the room to let them know that I was there. I didn't want to scare any group members or my friend. You don't want to scare anybody in front of their group. They're trying to look really professional. And we always were very professional. They all look at me. They're like, "When did you get in that room?" I said, "I don't know, 10 minutes ago. Whenever I left the group, I walked into that room." My friend took his light and he shone it down the hall. And he said, "You weren't down there." I said, "No. Why?" They all looked at each other completely dumbfounded. "We saw you go into the room down there, probably 100 feet down the hall to the left, which was a bathroom." Then I said, "No, I didn't go in that room. I'm also very distinctive looking. I'm about 6'3". I remember the shirt I had on. It was a favorite shirt. It was a black and white plaid flannel shirt. And it would pick up very well. The white of the flannel would pick up very well in the flashlight. And they were completely shocked that I had not walked in that room. And I said, in fact, I don't walk down this hallway because a few weeks earlier, I had a group up there and we heard a noise, a little bit of shuffling. So we go to investigate it. It turns out some pigeons had broken in through a window and they were roosting in this bathroom. That was the night that I found out that I'm allergic to bird dander. So, you know, I don't hurt the pigeons. So we excuse ourselves in the ward and go down to the break room, laugh about the pigeons. My nose starts to run. My throat starts to shut up. And, so from that point on, I didn't go down that hallway anymore. So, but it was really weird the way things would happen. That, you know, I mean, they all swore that they saw me, but also that's the way things sort of happened there. You know, you would see something that didn't look out of the ordinary. You would see somebody standing there and you turn your head back and there's no one there. Or you would hear your name whispered in your ear and nobody would be there. We worked there and we didn't just work there to be idiots and to, you know, to just garner stories. We worked there enough to where we would actually investigate with the groups. We would investigate on our own to get stories. And we would attempt to debunk every single thing that happened. But there was nobody else in the group that night that had a shirt on like I did. Probably, if there was, there wouldn't have been my height. So, yeah, just chalk it up to people seeing your doppelganger at the end of a hallway. But anyway, I have a good bit of more stories from there. Obviously, I worked here 3 years, so I have quite a bit of strange stories. I will definitely call back. All right. Thank you, man. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Zach. I do have a bit of a strange fascination with these Kirkbride buildings. I love all things Victorian era, so maybe it stems from that. Or perhaps it's all those early ghost shows like Spookiest or Scariest Places on Earth, whichever is the correct title there, MTV's Fear, and of course a show that was recently announced to be rebooted, Ghost Hunters. Now all three of those shows actually visited the asylum that Zach's story takes place in. At least, that's if my process of elimination is correct. So thanks again, Zach, for taking the time to share that. Now before we play the back nine, I need to get through a few of these announcements. The Brett Manning shirts are in the store, and there's a little bit of a spin on these. I wanted to do something different for the first run, so I put together a little doodle, a little bug that I draw on each of the boxes I send out. And I actually applied that to the shirt. So the first 56 shirts have this little bug on it. So if it's something you'd like to pick up, head on over to monstersamonguspodcast.com and click on the shop tab. And I am sold out now in a couple sizes. So if you're waiting for those, I am putting a new order in next week, but the new ones will not have that little bug. That is a limited edition feature. If you like paranormal documentaries, I highly recommend you check out Terror in the Skies by the Small Town Monsters crew. Now you can find that documentary on Amazon, though it is not streaming for free. But for those of you that do tune in and check that show out, you may recognize a handful of calls that are played over some images early on in the film. I donated a couple stories to Seth and the gang to kind of set the scene for this film, and I gotta tell you, it's pretty interesting. So if you're into Thunderbirds and spooky things in the sky, that's the documentary for you. I just want to take a moment to thank everyone involved with AlienCon and the meetup afterward. Also, a big thanks to the folks that stuck around the chat, especially Ray, Joanne, Sarah, Jess, Paolo, Amber, and Mariah. I had a great time meeting and greeting everyone, and the panel was a smashing success. And the last order of business for the evening, Season 8's coming up, and I am looking to make a couple small changes around here, starting with the theme song. Now, I absolutely love the theme to the show, but I would like to put my own spin on it, so I'm asking for your help. Is there anyone out there listening that may have some experience in rewriting or writing music? Essentially, I'm looking to keep the theme I have, but I would love to change the arrangement and some of the instruments. So if that's something you think you can help me with, shoot me an email at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Any suggestions would be greatly appreciated. And on that note, let's move on with the show. And let's kick off the back half with one of my favorite cryptid subjects. The following is Gabe's Call from the state of New York.
Hi, Derek. My name's Gabe. I live in the suburbs of New York, Hudson Valley region. I just listened to Candy's recount of her seeing a Black Panther, and I just wanted to tell you what my brother saw, and I thought it was pretty interesting and relevant. And also my best friend's sister, she was riding horses in the trails in Chappaqua. This was in the late 80s. And what she saw was, she said her horse was going along the trail and it stopped and wouldn't go any further. And she was trying to get the horse to go forward, and she didn't understand why the horse had stopped. And then she looked in the branches of the tree ahead of them, and she saw a Black Panther in the branches. And that's, she went through the same thing. She was told it was a bobcat, but it absolutely was too big be a bobcat, and it was a black mountain lion sized creature. Then that was when I was a teenager. Then, like 10 years later, in the mid to late 90s, my brother is a garbage man. He drives a sanitation truck, and he said he was driving, I want to say he was in Chappaqua, or he was some in Westchester, a close-by town nearby there, driving his truck through a suburban town, suburbs, not even in the sticks, but he was driving the truck and he had a helper, an Albanian guy, riding with him. The guy couldn't speak very good English that he was with. But he said he was driving his truck and it darted right out across the road and paused right in front of his truck, and then he said it was definitely a big Black Panther, black, and broad daylight. He saw it, and he said it was very smooth, and it just ran off into the woods as quick as it had appeared. And he said, my brother said, he turned to the helper, and he said, did you just see what I just saw? And the guy said, yeah, we better not tell anybody. They'll think we're crazy. But they did see that. What happened with me and my brother when we were kids, we grew up next to Mary Knoll Fathers and Brothers at the seminary where they train priests. And across the street from there, there's the Sisters where they train the nuns. It's a nun place where they live. We used to ride our bikes up there. And there was a bunch of stray cats that lived on the grounds of the Sisters. And we were chasing the cats, and one day they ran into this, like, abandoned barn that's on their property, and we were going to go into that barn and chase the cats, hoping to get like a kitten or something like that. But when we got off our bikes and ran up to the barn, we were going to climb underneath the barn doors because there was a nice gap. But on the other side, when we pounded on the door, and I was getting ready to climb under it, but we heard like a loud rumble of, like, you know, that loud rumble of a cat, like a big cat. It wasn't a little kitty cat. It was like a large cat in there. I don't know if they had a speaker set up to scare off kids, but it definitely worked if that's what they had. But I really doubt they had that. I mean, because you're talking, when we did this, it had to be in the mid to late 80s. But that's what happened. We did hear that. It scared the hell out of us, and we hightailed it out of there. But that's my recount of that. But love your show, and Have a great night.
Thanks, Gabe. I often talk about alien big cats, also known as ABCs. I talk about sightings here in the States, but you might be surprised to know that the UK and Australia both seem to be experiencing the exact same phenomenon. Big cat-sized felines, usually all black, found in places where these, although extremely rare naturally occurring animals, otherwise never existed. As a witness of one of these creatures myself, I can tell you that whatever it is, it's something out of the ordinary. Thank you again, Gabe, for sharing your story. All right, it's time for the main course of the evening. Something you can really sink your teeth into. Now, the following was submitted anonymously from the state of North Dakota.
Hi, I'm from northeastern North Dakota, grew up on a farm, still work on the farm a little bit here and there, but this story happened to me around 2009, late in the fall. It was probably early November, all harvest was done, we were working the fields, and I mean, this is pretty bare land up here. There's not a lot of farms close together. It's pretty desolate out here. It's nothing but just fields and a few shelter belts. But anyway, I was 2009, I was probably 28, 29, and Dad had me out late working a field for the fall, and there was a certain field that we rented that the owners wanted it worked, so we had to work late. And I worked a full-time job somewhere else at this time, so I didn't get out there till evening, and it was already getting dark up in this area. It gets dark kind of early in the fall through the winter, but it was kind of cloudy and kind of misted in the morning, but anyway, when I got out there, it was just cloudy and kind of dark, and so I'm working the field, and it got to be about midnight, and I had half the field worked, and I had to work the other half because the landowner wanted it worked before everything froze up and blah, 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 but so my dad brought me fuel about midnight, and he said, here, I'll leave the dog with you, keep you company. So on this certain particular ground, it's all open on three sides except for the east side close to the river is kind of woods. And, well, I was working the field, and as I got closer to the trees, the dog started... her hair stood up on the back of her neck, and she started growling every time I got to a certain point in the trees. And I got this, when I got closer to the trees, I don't know if it was just fatigue and it was late and I was freaking myself out, but I started getting the chills, like just a really eerie, freaky feeling. And it was dark. It was pitch black out. It was cloudy and cold, and it was, you know, well after midnight when I got the groundwork close to the trees. But so I'm going along the trees with the tractor and the chisel plow, and at a certain point the dog just started freaking out, and she was jumping up and barking and snapping and growling and just acting way out of character. So I stopped, and I thought maybe she had to use the bathroom, so I let her out. She jumped off the tractor as soon as I opened the door, jumped out of the tractor, hit the ground, ran straight for the shelter belt, which was about, at that time, I was, 30 feet away. And she ran up to the point of the certain point in the shelter belt, just stopped dead and didn't make a sound, just stared into the trees. And I thought, what the hell is going on with this dog, you know? So I went over there to grab her and like, come on, get back in the tractor, we still gotta finish this field up tonight, and I'm tired and I want to go home. So I picked the dog up, and she snapped at me and growled, and I looked in the trees and I saw these red eyes. I like I don't, just red circular eyes, and that's all I saw. And they were, it seemed like they were staring right at me, like almost through me. And I just got this really scared, eerie feeling. I grabbed the dog, ran back to the tractor, slammed the door in the tractor, and, you know, just kind of shook it off and said, oh, it must just be a deer or something, you know, or some type of wildlife up here. Nothing to worry about. And that dog kept, every time we got to that certain spot where them red eyes were, she would just start freaking out. So anyway, I got the field worked and I was on my way home, and it was about 4 miles from the field on the gravel. And it, I mean, like I said, it's pretty desolate up in the Red River Valley in North Dakota, especially way up north. And was going, and well, this part still scares me, but it's what it is, what it is, I guess. But I was bringing the tractor home, and I was about 2 miles from the yard, and there was a outline of this figure, and the dog was started freaking out again, which I said, this is way out of character for her, because she was so nice and never hardly ever barked. And so, you know, I was still kind of freaked out about those red eyes I saw in the trees and whatever, so I just kind of tried pushing it out of my mind. And whatever this figure was, it was an outline of a man, like probably 6 feet tall, all black, almost like a shadow. But the rounded head, it looked like it had was dressed all in black with a black hooded sweatshirt up over its face, you know. And it acknowledged me, figure scooted over to the side of the road, kind of almost in the ditch, and I just pulled the tractor over on the gravel road and went by it. And I thought, well, I better stop, because a lot of people take those back roads by our farm there, you know, to jump from bar to bar, and you get these people that hit ditches in the middle of the night, you know. And at this time, it was about close to 3 a.m. So I thought, well, geez, I better stop in case I need help. But they didn't flag me down, which I thought about that before I got out of the tractor, but I thought, no, I'll be nice and stop and see. So I stopped the tractor, and the dog's growling. And that, you know, that kind of freaked me out, that the dog was growling. And I got out of the tractor, and I looked at the figure. It stopped moving and turned around, and I hollered at him, hey, you need help, are you stuck or whatever? And there was no response. So I walked a little closer. I didn't get out of the range of the lights on the tractor, and I hollered at it again, and the dog came running out of the tractor and ran up next to me and just stopped dead. And I knew that I got that freaky feeling again, and the head of this person or whatever it was lifted up, and all I could see was red eyes, like what I saw in the trees, and it had like a white grin, like almost like its teeth were just white as could be, and sharp, I don't know how to explain it other than like a big, like a bear or a cat or like a big predator cat, or I don't know. But it was the outline of a human. I mean, probably a 6 foot tall, maybe a little taller man. And I ran back to the tractor. I got the dog on the tractor and ran her home. Went inside, and, you know, I was freaked out. I had all the lights on. I parked the tractor right next to the house and ran inside with the dog. And the dog was running from window to window, from the living room window up, kind of up into the dining room, into the little kitchen area, looking out the sliding glass at our dike, and back into the living room, looking into the trees. And finally got her calmed down, and I finally got calmed down enough, at least where I could sleep for a few hours. And Dad grabbed me in the morning and kind of woke me up, and he said, what was all the commotion last night when you came home? And well, I told him, and he thought I was crazy. And then about 2 weeks later, our neighbor was over at our shop. We were working in the shop, and he was talking about some lights that he saw in the field. So we were talking, and of course my dad thought we were both kind of nuts, and I started talking about, or telling him about the figure that I saw. And before I could finish explaining what I saw, he said, did it have, like, red eyes, outline of a man, and, like, these sharp teeth? And I said, yeah. And all he said was, oh, that thing's back. And so I just said, well, is this something I should know about? Like, has this creature, whatever it's been haunting or harassing his area? Because I never saw it as a kid, never got that feeling in my life until that day. And I have never seen it again from being out on the farm or out in the field or what at night. I have never seen that again, but there's a few people around that area in the North Red River Valley that have said they've seen that. Thanks for listening.
And that is where the call cut off. But a huge thank you to that caller for submitting. Now, our caller really does a good job of painting the picture here, and the dog was used perfectly to amp up the suspense. Well told, sir. Well told. Now, it's almost something like Field of Dreams meets Jeepers Creepers, and I love it. Now, I'll be honest with you, though. I'm having a hard time with the description. Is this a shadow entity or something biological? I'm leaning towards flesh and blood, I guess. But to be honest, none of that really even matters. Because spectral or not, we have no idea what this thing is. Now, it has traits of the Shadow Man phenomena, but also anything with glowing red eyes. But yet its behavior is more akin to, I'd say, the Dog Man or behavior of some skinwalker-type creatures that's been reported over the years. I don't seem to know much about this call, but I do know this. I bet many of you will be scanning the shadows this evening, eyes wide open for that red glimmer and that mouthful of sharp teeth. Thank you again, caller, for sharing that terrifying story. And please let us know if you see anything like that again, or I guess if anyone else out there has seen anything terrifying like this. If so, you can report your story by calling the hotline at 1-888-608-NIGHT. That's 1-888-608-6444. Now, you leave your story in the form of a voicemail. You have a 5-minute window. If you need more time, simply call back and pick up where you left off. I'll splice it all together for you. Oh, and Friday the 28th of June will be the last day you can submit your hometown legend and be eligible for the Season 7 finale. You can still submit, I'll just push forward to the Season 8 finale. And that's going to do it for this episode. Monsters Among Us is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Additional support is provided by Addie Lloyd, Warren Ponabbott, and Tony Bell. The amazing music you hear is from the talented Coag Music. Thank you all for listening, and until next week. Well, just like the Denver International Airport, Monsters Among Us, too, has its secrets. And you just stumbled upon one of them. Now, tonight's secret story comes to us from the state of Utah and was submitted anonymously. Hi. My story happened in Salt Lake City, Utah, around April 4th or 5th of 2019. It was around 7 or 7:30, as it was just getting dark. It was partly cloudy, a little breezy, and bright outside. On the weekends, I go on bike rides, and I bring my phone and earbuds. I was biking to a park close by. It's a pretty flat ride after going up a hill to get to the trail that's almost right under the mountain in the area. I felt a little weird that day, but I didn't care at the time. My phone was acting normal, nothing different or weird. And also keep in mind that my phone case didn't have anything that would be independently pressing buttons on the phone or on the sides. It was even a little difficult for me to press the buttons while it was in the case. Well, after arriving at the park, I did a couple laps, messed around, and then had to take a break because I was tired after all that. As I was resting, I was just looking around at the scenery, as it was quite pretty. There's some hills and some trees in the surrounding park. There are probably around 40 or so trees to add to the scenery. I looked up, and in one of the trees with the sparse leaves, I saw a black oval, kind of shaped like an egg. I guess it was a thing. It was just up in this tree, not moving. It didn't look like it was swaying side to side or going up and down with the wind or anything like that. It didn't have any limbs that I could see, no legs or arms or even a head. It looked like it was almost perched on one of the branches, but after moving to get a better view of the thing I saw, it was just floating in the air, not touching anything. At this point, I was pretty freaked out. When I saw that it was floating, I decided to head home, because I was freaked out. It was a warmish day, which in Utah means anything above 50 degrees. However, as I started to head home, I felt chilly and cold. It could have been because the day was ending, but it felt like maybe I was connected to the black oval. Anyway, once I left the park, my phone started acting weird. I had been listening to a video and the volume started changing rapidly, going up and down. Then the video I was watching kept changing to different videos. I had just enough time to see the titles of the video and it kept saying stuff like, "I loved you," "You broke my heart," "I forgive you," and stuff like that. The last video it played was a song called "Ghost." It played that one all the way through. Once it was over, I had almost reached home. As I was walking my bike, I looked up and saw that the lights, the house I was passing, began to flicker. The weird thing is, it was only happening to houses I walked in front of, and once I walked past the house, the lights would just be fine. I finally got back home, and my phone started acting weird again, and it eventually died, so I left it alone to charge. The next days, there were no issues with it at all. This isn't my first supernatural encounter, so to speak. I've seen shadows of people walking around the house at night when I was the only one awake. I heard things in the house, etc. There are two things I see most commonly outside of the house, though. A black cat out of the corner of my eye, and a white wolf, which I can see more directly. Those things have been so commonplace with me that it's quote-unquote natural for me to see them. But this black oval thing is something new, which I hope I never see again. Well, thank you for submitting that story, and there's a good deal to unpack here. As far as the UFO is concerned, it certainly sounded like a helium-filled balloon or maybe a resting bird at first. Having something small and round perched in a tree isn't all that weird. But floating in the air, that's a completely different situation. I know the state of Utah has its fair share of UFO encounters, with the Skinwalker Ranch being nearby and all. So perhaps this is just another to add to the list. Thank you again for taking the time to share, and thank you for sticking around to the end of the program. Have a great night.
If you look around, you'll see the world can be pretty smart. Okay, very smart. At Capella University, we think education should be smart, too. That's why we're reshaping online learning with our FlexPath format. You can set your own deadlines, take classes at your own pace, even leverage your previous experience to move faster. So when it comes to earning your bachelor's degree, you know what kind of choice to make. A smart one. Visit capella.edu to learn more. Capella University. Don't just learn, learn smarter.
When you rely on the internet for everything, you need speed that can handle anything. And now, Xfinity delivers Wi-Fi speed faster than a gig. Check out our amazing offers on internet and learn about the latest breakthrough from Xfinity, Wi-Fi speed faster than a gig.
That's more than enough speed to power all your devices and then some. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply. Gig Wi-Fi requires gig speed and compatible X-Fi gateway. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.